Welcome to Vermont Movement News, Volume 3, Episode 2. This is our third episode after a long hiatus. We felt that the recent wave of bigotry in the anti-CRT and anti-trans panics needed to be answered strongly. So we've been interviewing teachers who are on the front lines of this issue. In this episode, we will be interviewing Andrea Weisskopf. Andrea is an English and Latin teacher who works with Loudoun County Public Schools. She is an active supporter of social justice and has counter-protested against many right-wing gatherings. Welcome, Andrea. Tell us about yourself.
Hi. So I'm Andrea Weisskopf. I'm a teacher in Loudoun County, Virginia, which has been a flashpoint for a lot of the anti-CRT movement. We've been covered quite extensively, especially by Tucker Carlson and more of the, I hate when they trend on Twitter under journalists. That really just infuriates me. But yes, we're a favorite of them.
The listeners can't see the background. Can you talk a little bit about the wonderful background you use for your remote teaching? I'm seeing diverse books teach us Black Lives Matter.
And yes.
Tell us about your background.
So I do have, it says diverse books teach us. And then I have Black Lives Matter. I have an LGBTQ heart, Stop Asian Hate. You Belong Here in Spanish, but I have You Belong Here featured because that is my class motto. And I need to remember that every student, each and every belongs in my class, no matter what. I am a public school educator. And I believe in the mission of public schools, and that means every child belongs. But my background wasn't, I also have covers of a lot of YA books that highlight diverse authors and characters. Those were not there originally. Originally, I would have some seasonal decorations on the blank space. There's that white space. I had pumpkins in October, some turkeys and leaves. Then in December, I changed it to Let It Snow, and I had snowflakes. I was informed by HR. HR and I are pretty close. You know, we're kind of BFFs, that I either needed to blur my background, have a blank background, or have a background that was suitable, was content related. So as an English teacher, I added diverse books teach us, and then I put up pictures of a lot of, as I said, YA book covers from Kwame Alexander to, I don't even remember who I have now. Anina's voice is always a favorite of students. I follow the rules.
You're creative about getting your message out, which is what you have to be nowadays.
And now it's even crazier than it was.
Tell us about what's happening in Loudoun County. The last time I was in Loudoun County was in 2018. I was driving through Leesburg on Route 15 going north, and I was just astounded. I'd been counter-protesting the, it was the second incarnation of the Unite the Right, which happened in D.C., and we came to counter-protest that.
I was there.
Oh, cool.
Were you? You were the one, I think I saw you. You were over to the left, right?
Yeah, I had this hat on.
Definitely. I had my Swarthmore hat on.
I actually got on the train with the Nazis and rode in with them because I figured, you know, there's like eight gajillion cops on the train. So if they want to attack me, it's like go for it. Mm-hmm. So we got pictures of them right in that on the Orange Line Metro, because they went
from Vienna.
Yep, I figured they were going to be in Vienna, and we were there. I'm sorry. We almost had Daryl Lamont Jenkins. He's busy today, and he was there as well. So it could have been a minor reunion of Unite the Right to counter protesters.
Right.
But yeah, leaving there, I was just shocked by how many bumper stickers in Leesburg were fascist or far right Trumpist. I mean, literally, I'm seeing a sea of fascist stickers, 3%ers, actual fascies on cars and stuff like that. Tell us, what is it like now in Loudoun County?
Okay, Loudoun did go blue in the gubernatorial election. By about that much, for those listening, it's not a lot. Virginia used to be a red state, and we started moving and a purple state. And then in the last two elections, Virginia did go blue. This last election that was in 2021 for governor. Is anyone else having a hard time with years since 2020?
It's all 2020. It's just 2021, 2022 as well.
Yeah, yeah, just it was in the, I call it the before times, but so this was not the before times. It was just last December we had the gubernatorial election. And I think that is one reason why so much focus ended up in Virginia and Loudoun as an off-year election. It's a good place to test a message. And if the message goes over, you just push it harder. If the message doesn't work, you can tweak it. But it is a place where you can try out the messaging. And Loudoun County is also a good place to do that, because it is a wealthy county. A lot of money can be pumped in here. And because of the wealth in Loudoun County, people are going to pay attention to it. We're close enough to DC where a DC news station can consider us mostly local news. It's easy for a DC station. Everyone knows Loudoun County, even if it's an hour away. Loudoun County is still mostly local. It's not like talking about at some place in Southwest Virginia that no one's heard of and doesn't have a lot of voters and doesn't have a lot of money. There are also a lot of political operatives who make this home. It is one of the leaders of the opposition. Ian Pryor puts himself out as just a dad in Loudoun County, but he was part of Trump's DOJ, and he has more than 20,000 followers on Twitter.
I believe that really right-wing senator from Pennsylvania is in Leesburg. I'm forgetting his name.
Oh, so...
Santorum.
Oh, is he even?
He wasn't in Leesburg when he was in government. He was living in Leesburg.
That sounds... Ugh. I might need to shower after this. I'm kind of close to Leesburg. Ugh. It is, did you know... Loudoun is beginning to have a little bit of a racial reckoning. Memorial was put up in Leesburg for Orion Anderson, who was just a kid, who was lynched in Loudoun.
When did that happen?
You would think I would remember the date. I do not remember. His name is Orion, O-R-I-O-N, Anderson. Mm-hmm. And he really was maybe 13 or 14, but he was presented as a man because that makes him scarier. He was accused of scaring a white girl, which, okay, one, I can't imagine that happening, but if he did, I mean, I teach kids that age. They try, it's one of their favorite things to do at school would be to stand behind the door and then pop out when I walked in. Hello. And it was funny every time. But even if that is true, you don't get to go outside the law to
kill someone.
Yes. So
how's the reaction been? I mean, sometimes this is just the fuel that the Tucker Carlsons and other reactionary bigots need for their shtick. As it
that I think they're not going to publicize that, but it is something that riles them up because it is pointing a finger quite directly at white supremacy. And as much as they want to say, oh, that doesn't happen anymore, well, let's talk about the judicial system.
Yeah, we have a lot of people in Vermont. I'm in northern Vermont near the Canadian border trying to say there is no systemic racism in Vermont, but the actual statistics that the police give themselves shows racial bias. If you walk into a Vermont prison, it's filled with Black people, and Vermont
does not
have white.
My roommate freshman year was from Vermont, and we're still close, but I remember her coming back from maybe Thanksgiving and saying how much she loved coming back because it was so much more, it was so diverse. And I don't know, maybe there were maybe 20 African Americans on campus out of 1,000 kids, and she was, it's so much more diverse. Like, what are you talking about?
But we drive 40 miles to the north to Sherbrooke, and it's a very Black city, and Black, Asian, and but around here, you can go days without seeing a person of color. It's starting to change in Newport.
I do want to talk first about some of my different actions that I am not doing, talking about this for cookies. You don't get a cookie by the author of Americana wrote, you don't get a cookie for standing up against something that should have never existed. And I don't often talk about the extent of what I do. One, because you don't get cookies as much as I love them. And that's the main reason. But I know with the audience you have listening, they need to know how extreme these right-wingers are. And what they are willing to do and what we have to do to stand up to them. And if they're willing to do this to me, and I am a well-educated white woman with a lot of privilege, and it isn't to stand up against it. And as I said, I've got a lot of privilege. We do need to make sure that other people who claim that they are allies realize and understand that saying Black Lives Matter at a march where everyone else is saying it, that's not enough. allyship is about activism. It's about if you've got privilege, not stepping away when it gets hard.
So what are you doing to counter the right wing and what they're doing? How do you fight back against this? What do you personally do?
It started for me, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, going to school board meeting because they were debating some protections for LGBTQ staff and students. And I am not a member of the but I like to think of myself as an ally. So I went, and then I kept going back. And I think they thought it was kind of cute at first that this middle-aged middle school teacher comes and passionately talks about making sure students are supported. And then I suppose I got a little more extreme every time, just kept moving that line. And at some point, it probably wasn't cute anymore, but what are they going to do? They didn't stop me in the beginning. So that's how it started for me. Chances, opportunities present themselves. So, okay, here's a fun story. Now, this was 2020. I remember it was 2020, and it was about September, because most of us are, you know, wearing our cloth masks at the time. And a friend sent me, of course, this was in Leesburg, a flyer that had been put on her car that said there was an anti-socialist rally, anti-communist rally. I think it was anti-socialist.
Yeah, that's what the Proud Boys usually tag themselves as.
So it said there was a rally. Oh, and anti-communist speakers were welcome. And I thought, well, I'm not one. So I think I'm going to go. And I have my sign ready. I've got on my Black Students Matter t-shirt. I've got my sign up. And I'm going to take this down, right? So I assume it's going to be this huge rally. And it's at 2 o'clock. So I am in Leesburg at 1:15, figuring it's going to be hard to, where am I going to park? And nothing is there. And I'm driving around Leesburg. And as you know, Leesburg is not a big city at all. So I'm driving around, I'm at the courthouse, and then I remember there's a new courthouse parking lot. And I think, I bet that's going to be a staging area. So I drive back, nothing's there. So I'm about ready to go home. But as I'm driving back by the courthouse, I see two men with a sign that has Obama with a Hitler mustache. And I realize, there's the rally, the two men. So, so I parked the car, and I remember parking the car because it was parallel parking, and that's not easy for me. And I was really excited. I think I even took a picture of it, which I sometimes do when I do a good job parallel parking. So I start marching up, and there are some people on the courthouse lawn cheering. And this is what I mean about opportunities presenting them. Why weren't they up there? They obviously believed the same way I did. But yes, so I march up there, and at first I'm standing next to them. And anytime they tried to say something, I would say, Black Lives Matter. And first they tried to tell me that, you know, they were going to get me arrested. I'm like, no, I'm not. You think, do I look like someone who doesn't know her rights? I'm allowed to be on a public sidewalk.
Do you know who they were?
Tweedledee, Tweedledum. I don't know. Hitler's nephews. So yes, yeah. So and then one of them would cross the street. It was right by the courthouse, and he'd cross the street to get away from me. Hello, I'm a middle school teacher. I work with. I love middle schoolers, but they can be annoying. Okay, I know how to do this. Besides, I'm also a younger sister, so I just follow him across the street and keep shouting. And then he'd look at me and he'd try to cross the other way. Hello, what do you think I'm going to do? And I would just follow behind him. At one point, there were three women that had stopped and were kind of listening to him. But what they did is they took his flyer and then wrote BLM on the back, and started following me around. So now I've got a rally, right? I have a rally, and one of the gentlemen made fun of our signs. They weren't professional. And I said, you're just jealous that you advertised a rally. I showed up, and now my rally is twice as big as yours. They only lasted maybe an hour before they gave up, which frankly, you know, kind of sad. They're not sending their best, unless they are. But yeah.
Well, Chris Cantwell lived in Leesburg, Virginia for a while after when he was in trouble with the law. He was then he got arrested for I believe drunkenly crossing a street or something like that.
So anyway, that's the story of how I chased a Trump rally out of town. But yeah, why did these three women? Yeah. So then the four of us are there. Well, where'd the rally go? So I guess we just hug it out and leave. But why were other people not standing up? And it is not, there was an African-American woman who walked by and did whisper thank you to me, but you don't get cookies. And it is not her responsibility to be grateful for someone defending the rights that we claim are inalienable.
So has there been any repeats of these people come back?
Well, I haven't chased another rally out of Leesburg.
Has there a lot of these incidents tend to revolve around school board meetings?
Yes.
What kind of drama have you been getting in the school boards in Loudoun County?
So the national focus came at the end of May 2021. Yeah, 2021. Again, who knows now? But I had been going, and I remember in April asking people to please show up. I could tell just from the way they were starting to go after books. What they do is pick the most titillating scenes from generally LGBTQ, but that is their go-to, because when anyone hears these, because they are books for high school seniors, but when people hear these scenes, you go, how can my five-year-old be hearing that? And you can get people to agree, wow, we can't have that. So then they move that line every time. So if we can get you to take these books out, now we can push a little more. And I saw that happening. And I remember in April begging other people. And that first meeting in May, I did not want to go to. I personally, oh, it ended up being a pinched nerve, but I had spent the day before in the ER, you know, and we had no idea what was happening. I could barely walk. And I begged someone to go. I was like, I can't go, but someone has to be there. And no one went. So I drove to the school board meeting. There were 30 of us. I was the last speaker. And it was all about and values. And by values, no LGBT. Yes. And that's the moment when I spoke at the end. So again, now you know I was in the ER. I was in so much pain. I could barely stand and, panting because I can't even be on one leg. And that's when I think I know who it was, recorded me and gave it to his friend Tucker. And that's when Tucker then played the video of me and repeated my name. He spent almost 10 minutes on repeating my name. So if you don't know that Weisskopf is a Jewish name, you call me a Nazi. Again, they're not sending their best, unless they are. Or if you know it's a Jewish name, then I am a Christ killer. So I was already getting emails from something else that happened. I don't remember. But at this point, I now have 3 million new friends who wanted to reach out and let me know that we were friends on Twitter and my work email. Yeah. Go ahead.
Is there a lot of threats or is it just?
Most of it was just foul language. Mm-hmm. Actually, most of it revolved around my weight. So I am heavy, as your viewers cannot see. And even at the Trump rally I chased out of Leesburg, when they left, telling me, you know, that I was fat. That's a lot of them. I had people sign me up for Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers. You know how many emails I got welcoming? At some point, Jenny Craig, don't you? Why would I join 20 times?
They really should do some programming with their email list, you know?
Right, right.
If somebody signs up more than once in a month.
In a night.
I'm a former system administrator, and that would be something I would do. There'd be a database.
But yes, so there were a lot of those, a lot of foul language. My dad was military. I grew up hearing sailors, but no one calls women the C word. A lot of racial epithets, some due to my last name, but most of them just including the N-word. There were also some threats with, we know where you live, we know where you work. There, the MS-13 gang that you love, you know, I hope they rape you. And I had to unplug my landmine because it rang in the middle of the night and I answered it because why would I get a call on my landline in the middle of the night if it's not, you know, someone I love in trouble? So I pick up the phone and the voice just started with, you know, the Sesame Street place. I mean, they started reciting my address. Yeah, I had a few. So I unplugged my landline for a few weeks. I plugged it back in. The next day, I picked it up. And I know they just got lucky with this, but a friend had just left. And as soon as the friend left, the phone rang and they said, we're coming to get you. And the landline got unplugged.
Not yeah. very nice people.
It some scary things, yes. And they are not afraid to engage in physical intimidation.
Has someone actually come after you physically, or is...
Well, even so, there are a couple of times at school board meetings, so where security has walked me to. Oh, I'm bouncing around here, but the schools where I worked were getting calls that they were going to come to. So there were a couple of Glenn Youngkin rallies here in, it was in Leesburg, and I was the only protester who showed up. But so I show up in my Protect Trans Kids. I think I was, who knows? I was wearing one of my protest shirts and had my sign. And as I got out of the car and I'm walking up, I was surrounded by a group of men. And anytime I took a step, they would move in front of me.
Do you know who they were?
Send in their best. I am 5'3". Okay. At some point, men generally realize that their size, because many men are taller than women, and they at some point learn that that can be intimidating to women. And I'm 5'3", and I'm a middle-aged woman. I like to say middle-aged, not old. So I am middle-aged, but I am a 5'3" middle-aged woman. So even if, what's the average height of a man? 5'11", maybe? I don't know. But even if you're only 5'10", you're 7 inches taller than I am. And I remember being scared and kind of trying to reach for my phone. And someone from the Youngkin team came up and said, no, no, let her through, because yeah, that's not going to look good. But that has happened to me at a couple of places where men will try to physically intimidate me.
So can you talk a little bit about how the Youngkin campaign fed off of these moral panics, the anti-trans panic, the anti-CRT mm-hmm. panic, kind of like vultures feeding off a dead carcass?
Right. Where do I want to start with this? I hate the phrase perfect storm. You know, I think that gets used too much. But at the start of the pandemic, I always say that it was basically Lord of the Flies, except without the conch shell. So many people were out for ourselves that it didn't take much to fan these flames. I think, what do you have? I have a cat here meowing. Oh, interesting.
Yes, she was making a lot of noise. So yes. I'm going to hold her so she doesn't complain.
Yes, my cat is down here meowing. My cat, thoughts and prayers for Toast this summer. So she's used to me being at home all the time during the school year. And she knew she could come get pets at any time. And if she walked in, she would hear 25 kids calling her name. And fame is fleeting. She's having a rough summer. I'm not home all the time. So Youngkin. A lot of it had to do, one, with the messaging of he was trying to, and it worked, portray himself as just a nice guy who wasn't into politics, He was a dishwasher through college, and tried to go the folksy way. A lot of money was pumped into Loudoun, again, because it's this off-year election. And when it comes to CRT, in the broadest sense, if CRT does focus on the issue of race in America, in the broadest sense, any discussion involving race would fit under that umbrella.
Well, there was a guy named, there's a guy named Chris Rufo from the Manhattan Institute, and he said this on Twitter outright. He wants to tar anything progressive, anything that the right-wing people consider crazy as CRT. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, Black history is not CRT. CRT is looking at the interaction between the legal system, the educational system, right, and race. It's really a very complicated system-based stuff. I mean, there are little bits of it that filter it way into school. Like you'll see Ibram X. Kendi, but he hardly even touches on CRT. He talks about racism, but they want anything that's politically correct or woke to be CRT. They don't want any discussion of race.
One of the claims is that we're trying to make white children feel guilty. Okay, 80% of the teaching force is white women. And all of these white women are teaching white children to feel guilty. One of the things I emphasize with my students, when we see issues from the past that were wrong, is I'm not responsible for the past. My mom's side of the family was here in the 1600s, and I'm sure very fairly getting land from the Native Americans. I'm sure it was very fair. But I am not responsible for that. I cannot feel guilty about that. I am responsible for how I act today, how I react to that history. I am responsible for today and tomorrow.
Well, I think we do have to think about say the things of generational wealth. Part of my family was colonized Nebraska back in the mid-1800s, and they benefited from taking native land.
That's part of this, how I act in the present, is while I am not responsible for the fact my ancestors did that, here in the present, I do need to be aware that my mother went to college, and someone my mother's age, who was African-American, would not have been able to go to the university. That there are so many things here in the present that I have set my, that because of my ancestors, I have been set up for success. And I can't be responsible for what they did, but I am responsible for how I act now in the present, why I have this. For some people, meaning white people, they don't see what is meant by generational. When we hear generational wealth, for most of us, we think of the Vanderbilts or families that have a lot of money. That is not what my family had, but
my family, there was a little bit of cash that got passed down, but the
the generational wealth was education.
Ding,
was,
ding, ding.
It was growing up with a house full of books. You know, yes. these were my, that was the generational wealth I had. And yes, there was, and
people don't certain, understand that.
And there's a certain confidence you get from mm-hmm. growing up in a family that you're not going to grow hungry.
Yep. And you know, you belong. You don't walk in a room thinking, I don't belong here. I never, ever went to bed thinking there might not be food. When my father had even, you know, a beer, I never feared any bad repercussions from that. I never worried about violence in our neighborhood. If we forgot to lock the door, it wasn't that big of a deal. No, that is the generational wealth that people don't understand. My grandmother went to college. Most people do not have people my age, which is just middle-aged, do not have grandmothers who went. Yeah, I was third generation female going to college. Because we could go to college.
Yeah, that is pretty extraordinary, even in America.
Yeah.
One thing before we're getting up on the hour, so we have we have about 10 or 15 mm-hmm. more minutes to talk, and I wanted to hit on one thing about you that is unusual. You're the first person I've heard of a Latin teacher in public schools. Can you talk about that, and can you bring back a little bit how education is being attacked in nowadays America?
In many ways, it is Latin that helped me become woke. In Latin textbooks, there are, of course, enslaved people, because the most textbooks have a story of a family that you follow. And you get to translate sentences like, the kind master praised the faithful slave. That's how you learn noun adjective agreement. How do you make, for people who don't know Latin, most of us know in Spanish, the noun adjective, they both have an O or an A to agree. So that's how we teach noun adjective agreement. The kind master praises the faithful slave. The lazy slave was stupid. Really, is he stupid or does he not have access to education? When I would discuss things, the British, the Romans in Britain, is it a conquest or an invasion? All depends on your point of view. And so when you are teaching children about westward expansion, is that an American conquest or an American invasion?
Yeah, that's one of the things when you talk right. about the American Revolution, mm-hmm. a lot of Native people sided with the British because the British were awful, but they were more likely to follow the treaties. And right. the unspoken part of the American Revolution is that colonists wanted to colonize past the Ohio River mm-hmm. or out past the Appalachians, which the British crown would not allow them to do. And that's mm-hmm. This is CRT. This is really teaching American history. That's one of the things they don't want people to hear.
Right. So, but so in many ways. Oh, so would you believe I started writing and advocating for things to be changed with a textbook company about 4 years ago. And I was told that, yes, we know there need to be some changes, but we just released a new edition and it'll be 10 years before we even think about starting a new edition. I know I am not the only one who pressed, but guess what's coming out next year?
What's that?
A new edition.
What's the textbook? And what were the changes Cambridge you
Latin
want?
Cambridge Latin course. A lot of it is even just using the term enslaved person instead of slave, but lots of changes with the lazy slaves. And that new edition's coming out next year, about 5 years before they told me to even think about starting a new.
Yeah, I remember when I took Latin, I went to private schools. I think it was Hammer's Latin we used. Mm-hmm. It was before the Cambridge one.
Right, right. You were old school. But you're not old either.
The gray hair on my head is kind of arguing with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had to face the fact that Latin has done a lot for white supremacy. And I began seeking ways to make sure all students knew that they belonged, instead of putting up more pictures of, oh, and face it, those pictures are awful, of just these boring white statues. No one wants to look at those. I started doing things like, I had a picture of the Vietnam Memorial and Maya Lin, and I labeled things in Latin. So I had that picture, but with some Latin labels. I took a picture of a portrait of George Washington Carver from the portrait gallery, where he's working, he's an older man there working with flowers. And I labeled that in Latin. But with the Maya Lin picture, I had a student tell me it was the first time she had seen an Asian woman just incorporated so naturally that it wasn't just a cute picture on the wall of children from around the world, that it was, it's funny because it was labeled in Latin, but it was just a natural part of the environment in my room. Not that I don't love Latin, but I have really considered what has been perpetuated in the teaching.
Well, it's like British New Israelism, which is very, mm-hmm. it's a very racist religious strain that was all tied up with Latinate stuff mm-hmm. as well.
But and you can teach Latin in an anti-racist manner.
What? You'd probably have to take out some of the Carthago Delenda Est stuff.
No, it's just being honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, what was the invasion of Carthage? This was an ancient genocide.
Right.
One of the things that a podcast I listen to talks about ancient genocides is that they're not talked about as genocides. Mm-hmm. When they take an entire culture and destroy it, but it's important that we bring a modern. Mm-hmm. Modern view on this, that this is not acceptable. This is the same as what happened in Armenia. This is what mm-hmm. happened in the Congo with King Leopold killing mm-hmm. 10 million Congolese. It's the same kind of thing. It's a genocide.
Tacitus puts words in the mouth of a Celt, and who says we need to band together against the Romans because they make a desert and call it peace. And we need to face the fact that it's not just the Romans who did that, that that's still happening today. And
well, the Sahara was created by the Romans and mm-hmm. by people that followed the Romans.
Oh, I know the one thing I wanted to touch on that we didn't. Particularly this time last year, I was getting a lot of calls from international journalists, or they would actually be at some of our school board meetings. What does someone from, you know, what does Dutch TV, why are they at Loudoun County?
That's wild.
That's it wild.
Was Ukraine. It's they saw the signs of fascism. You want to talk about fascism? They saw the signs of fascism, and they wanted to know what would America do, not if Ukraine was invaded, but when. I really think it was, I had a Dutch station, Swiss, Finland. Why would they want to know? Well, because they're on the border with Russia. And none of them said Ukraine. But after, what do they want? It's the rise of fascism. And they were waiting for Ukraine to see what would happen.
Yeah, I didn't think the Russians would go past the Donbass, but I have a Ukrainian friend, and he said they're going to try taking it all. Some of my heroes in this situation are the people in Russia who protested against the war and faced tremendous consequences. It's 10 years in prison for doing a treasonous act in Russia. Mm-hmm. And likewise in Ukraine, I can't stand with the Azov battalion. They are fascist. So it's very important that there are heroes on both sides, but there's also a serious fascism problem on both sides. The thing is, in Russia, there's much more of it. And the military, the mercenaries that they're sending to Ukraine are from the Wagner group, who worship Hitler. But Russia calling Ukraine fascist, that's kind of like...
Pot, meat kettle.
Well, there's much more fascism in Russia.
Right. Yeah, it took me a while to figure out what the underlying reason was, but I'm not so naive to think they were just, wow, look at this fun story in Loudoun County. I mean, I happen to think we're a pretty great place, but why would Finland want to know about Loudoun County? I mean, we have some good wineries, but yeah.
Before we wind up, is there anything you want to plug? Your Twitter account or a blog or anything like that?
So my Twitter account is Latin Saxa, LatinSaxa. Yes. So that is my Twitter. My blog, the thing I have been doing at the age of 51, if I want to call myself a writer, I realized I had to do something. I had to actually write. I know, right? So that has been, I've been writing, and some of it does have to do with these social justice issues, but it's one word, AndreaWeisskopf.net. Yeah, if you want to write, you have to write. It took me 51 years to learn that. So some of us are slower than others, but and last thing, 90% of American children go to public school. Well, and they're not all American citizens, just 90% of children in America. I think that's the way I want to say it. Go to public school. Public schools, public education is one of the greatest things about America, that each and every child belongs in an appropriate. And most of my advocacy revolves around the fact that I want my students to know that they.
Thank you very much. This was Andrea Weisskopf. This was Vermont Movement News. Volume 3, Episode 3.